Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
IBM presents You Make the Call.
Rolling on, Cap J. Hood. Phone lines are hopping. We're having fun. It's a Friday. We're getting ready for Justin Fields to ball out on Sunday at Cleveland.
And some people are getting ready for Halloween. And I think that I would agree with my friend Danny that it might be a little early. In his neighborhood, there is a neighbor that's already putting up Halloween decorations.
This was a week ago.
I mean, and they're still going at it. Now, listen, I understand, as I mentioned, there are some families, Cap, that look at Halloween like they look at Thanksgiving or St. Patrick's Day or, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, that they put those decorations up. And for some, they're like, you know what, just like our guy Eddie from the north side, he's got a 12-foot, 20-foot skeleton. So he celebrates it just like any other holiday. I do not look at it that way. But some do. I would say that if you're going to put decorations up, maybe do it in October. But for some, they're getting the jump on.
There they go. And Danny is not a happy camper about it.
I'm just simply not happy because it raises the bar. Now my kids are asking when we're going to decorate. And we obviously, we're not going to decorate 40 days before Halloween.
Well, let me ask you a question, Danny. You're never one who is swayed by what others do. So if the whole neighborhood's going out to eat pizzas, Danny's not going to eat pizza. So if your kids say, "Dad, why aren't you going to eat pizza?" Well, you go, because that's not what I do. I'm the armchair nutritionist. Why are you being pressured by Katrina?
Because, Cap, as you both have adequately said enough in the last hour, I am heartless. But when it comes to my kids, it whatever's in there melts when they're like, can we have decorations? When are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? And I feel like, oh, my God, they want it so bad. They're so sweet. It brings them so much joy. They still have this innocence where they care about Halloween decorations. I'd be a real curmudgeon if we didn't do it. So that's why. Like, I see the joy it brings on their faces.
All right, so Danny's not happy about being forced to do this early. Georgette is in Elmhurst. Hey, Georgette, what's up?
Good morning. I am one of those early decorators.
My family
does a huge display. It takes us about 3 days to put it up. So if you're going to spend that much time decorating, you want to have it up for a long time.
So are you a year-round decorator?
Well, let's put it this way. Halloween is a very important holiday in my house. I have a son that works in a haunted house. It's a way of life.
Wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, my husband makes, we have every monster imaginable that is in our front yard. He makes all the characters. So you go through all that work, you want to have everything out there early.
Right. I get it. Georgette, thank you very much for the call. By the way, how did you stumble onto our fine show?
Well, I listen to you guys every morning, so love you both.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you. You're awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. Boy, a lot of female representation today. It's awesome.
Well, that's always good to know. I didn't know that, you know, the wife of Phil Georgeff decided to check in.
No, her name's Georgette.
Huh?
Georgette, not Georgeff.
Here they come spinning out of the turn. It's good to see Phil Georgeff's wife.
Let's go to
checking in.
Sean and Joliet. Hey, Sean, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, what's going on, Cap? First time being on the air. Happy Friday to you fellas.
Happy Friday to you.
I'm going to say I'm 90% with Danny. I think it's probably a touch too early, 40 days. I would say October 1st is a safe day. I have people in my neighborhood on November 1st putting their Christmas lights up, and when I called people out, I got called a Scrooge. So I would say October 1st, that's clear. 10 days before, I'll give them a little leeway. But come on, you know, just you do you.
All right, Sean.
There you go, Sean. Have a great weekend, man.
Now, a couple things in order here. Not just Halloween, but other holidays as well. One thing, Cap, you got to think about is the weather. So if it's Christmas, if you're out there before Thanksgiving, say, boy, this is a balmy day. Let me get out here now. It's a 64 and the weather dips. Let me get this done now. Same thing maybe for Halloween, too. It's not bad. Some people consider it cold. It's cool. But you know what? Let me get it up here now before the weather turns. That's also a factor of getting the stuff up there early, right?
It's a good point. It's a good
Makes
point.
Sense.
Like this weekend's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And this may spur people. You know what? Let's get the decorations up now.
Yeah. While the sun's out and got a little daylight, a little warmth on you, just a little bit. But it's better than being out there in 30-degree weather. That's one thing for sure, Cap. You don't want to be out there putting up Christmas decorations and you can't feel your fingers.
And it's snowing. It's icy.
Brutal.
You slip.
Brutal.
Let's go to Steve on the north side. Hey, Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? 2 points. First and foremost, with all those kids in that neighborhood, when they start to get that 12 to 15-year-old age, that house is going to be the target of eggs and vandalism to all that decoration. So she's setting herself up for that. But also 40 days before Halloween, if you put out pumpkins, those are going to be rotten messes by the time Halloween comes.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is.
And that could lead to a rodent problem.
That's correct.
It's a good point, Steve. Thank you very much for weighing in. Have a great weekend.
Good job, Steve.
312-332-3776. Brian's up in Deerfield, God's country. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. I'm going to preface this by saying I absolutely hate decorations. And the fact that grown adults compete with each other on who can have the cutest autumn decorations or the most bountiful Christmas decorations, I think it's all silly. That being said, it's your house. Zoning laws are an encumbrance on your freedom. Other people's opinions don't mean jack squat. Do what you want with it. So Zetterman, shut your pie hole. Katrina can do what she wants. That's her house. But you're allowed to have an opinion, buddy. I'm just being silly.
All right,
a good day, guys.
Brian, have a good day, man.
Wow. Told Zetterman to shut his pie hole.
How about that?
Well, if Danny heard that, boy, that'd be fighting words there. Wow.
Odds that dude's vaccinated.
And what did he say? What is it under your freedoms? What was the word?
An encumbrance on your
freedoms. An encumbrance?
Freedoms.
And the encumbrance on your freedoms. It's like, thank you.
Zoning laws.
Thank you, Rush. My God.
Yeah, wait till he put a strip joint right next to his house. He's like, hey, I get some zoning laws here.
I like it, man.
That's
a Rush word right there. Encumbrance on your freedoms here in America. Like, I love it.
Unbelievable.
I love that.
Let's go to Rick. I have no idea where he's at. Hey, Rick, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. You know, it's funny. I was just telling Danny, I don't mind that they do it early, you know, right now. Usually what I don't like is when as soon as pumpkin spice latte season starts, people want to instantly do Halloween. I'm like, nah, I think it's better that they do it now. Like my mom's even got the full size scale animatronics.
Oh my
God. If you walk past her house, she's got like a werewolf that actually moves. She's got a vampire that moves. You know, at night his eyes light up, but during the day he will jump at you.
Did you say a werewolf is getting an enema?
That's what I thought he said.
That's nasty.
No. Yeah, no. This is Rick from Ashcombe. I don't live over there anymore. I now live in Queen Creek, Arizona.
Oh, don't get
to hear you guys that often.
Awesome. You're the man. Have a great day. Okay.
All right, bye, guys.
All right, download that app, buddy.
No, Rick has been with us before. Ashcombe is Iroquois County. You ever get a phone number from the area code 779?
Yes. Probably,
okay, that's where that's from.
Interesting.
Yeah, the reason why I know that, he's the only caller that we ever get from Ashcombe Township.
There you go. Let's get Rod in Lockport. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I think Hoodie answered it right. There's a weather element to it. That's why people put it up early. You don't know if it's going to snow the next day in Chicago.
So true.
Good point. And the and the weather should be very, very nice this weekend. So maybe you go out and put some decorations up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In November, you put up the December ones because, again, the weather. You don't turn them on, but you put them up.
So, Rod, let me ask you this. Do you put up any decorations in Lockport there?
For Halloween, no. You know, my kids are all gone. So we used to do it for the kids, and we don't do it anymore for them. So, but we have a granddaughter now, so maybe my wife's going to change her mind here.
Oh, you go back to the ladder you go, Rod. Right back up to the ladder. Now you got grandkids. You got to take care of them.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
And then just feed them a whole bunch of sugar and send them on their way.
There you go.
See you, Rod.
Welcome.
Thanks, man.
Go back to mom and dad.
I know.
You got it. Appreciate all you. Right. Have a great weekend. Real quick, let's get Tyrus in on the west side. Hey, Tyrus, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas? Good morning to both of you guys.
You too.
What's going on, man?
What's up, Doc?
Quick question for you, Cap. I listen to the show every day, so I heard you guys yesterday morning. I got off of work early and wanted to join you for the walk, but I decided against it because I figured I might be a little too portly for you.
Well, dude, you be you, man. I hope I hope you'll walk with us next year, okay?
Yeah, you got it, brother. You got it, man.
All right, you got it. We can have a lot of fun. We'll chop it up over 26 miles.
You got it, man. You guys keep doing your thing, man. Love the show.
You too. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we understand that you're against the portly, so you, maybe you wouldn't want him to walk with you.
Plus, you left somebody on the side of the road when he couldn't go on. It wasn't like, oh, let me take care of you or let me help you walk. It was like, let's move the drill.
You're not in shape. We're moving the drill. Take that.
Dude, that guy was down. His eyes were back in his head.
And you left him.
You left him.
It's a good thing you didn't go to Nah, man.
I had the Birdie's Book Bank people throw him in the back of one of their cars.
Trunk?
Yeah, has he been discovered since?
No.
Okay, that's the question. So, I mean, my man would walk with you, man, but since you're against the portly.
I'm not against anybody. I'm inclusive.
Hold on a second. What about Jim Miller?
Which Jim Miller? The Hawthorne Jim Miller or... Never mind.
Say it. No, say what you said yesterday.
Nope, I'm done.
The portly Jim Miller.
Real quick. So, yes or no, can you put up Halloween decorations now?
I would say we took about 50 calls, and I would say 48 of them agreed with me. I think I heard maybe
At least 10 that were on the air.
I think maybe two people thought Katrina was right, and I think 48 said Danny's 100% right, handsome, and spot on the man.
All right, so wait before you put your Halloween decorations up.
What show was he listening to?
I have no idea.
I think the consensus is that I say that you should wait, but of course... Always follow Tracy Butler and ABC 7 to find out how the weather's going.
She's the best. All right, Dan Weider gets us ready. Bears, Browns, next.
Take that.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
In the great city of Chicago.
What time is it on the podcast?
No clue.
for our people in the UK, it might be like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're listening to this on late Friday night. You might be listening on Saturday. Wherever you are, thanks so much for supporting our program.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Dan Weiderer gets us ready for Bears Browns and joins us now on the Corona Hotline. Mm-hmm. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
Happy Friday, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're excited. Justin Fields will duck under center. And the offensive line last week was pretty good. All five guys played 100% of the snaps. So I'm a little more encouraged than I normally have been about this Bears offense. How about you?
Well, I laugh that all five offensive linemen playing 100% of the snaps is our bar that we've got to clear to feel good.
Dude, we haven't had that.
they scored 13 points last week on 10 possessions, and in a second half where the defense was playing lights out, they managed to turn 3-plus territory possessions into 2 field goals. Offense not good enough. It's going to be a struggle to be better this week on the road against a much better opponent with a rookie quarterback making his first start. I'm not as bullish right now on where this offense is headed as you are.
Dan, did Matt Nagy leave the door ajar for a Dalton return this season?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly left it ajar. Now the question is what's the motivation behind leaving that door ajar? Is it because you have a fear that Justin is going to struggle, and he's going to struggle so significantly that you're not going to be able to play winning football on a regular basis, and then all of a sudden you're a head coach who fears for his job and needs to go back to a veteran to try to squeeze out a couple extra wins to convince your bosses that you deserve to stay around? Or did you leave the jar open for other reasons? And I think that's where this whole thing gets pretty complicated, because neither one of those things is a I'm not going to say worst case scenario, but it's a bad case scenario if Fields struggles, or if Nagy feels like he's got to play Andy to protect his own job security, when obviously the best maneuver for the future of the franchise is to get Justin experience going forward, right? And so that's where they, I think, are caught in this conundrum of trying to figure out what they want to prioritize. Are they trying to prioritize 2021, or are they trying to prioritize the pursuit of a championship beyond the season? And it gets a little bit tricky in that gray area.
So if I said to you that the Bears went 7-10 with Justin Fields playing every start, getting every start the rest of the way, or they actually went 9-8 and squeezed in as of the last wild card, but Andy Dalton played the lion's share of the starts the rest of the way, what would you think would be better for Matt's job security?
What would I do, or what would George and Ted
do?
Right?
What do you think, Dan Weider? What would you write if you're writing a column about his job security? Because for me, if at the end of the year they went 7-10 and Justin Fields is the guy, like, that dude's going to be a stud. That's better than, we don't know if Justin's any good. We pulled him back out of the lineup. We went
Right. No, I'm 100% signing up for the 7-10 and learning about what you have in this franchise quarterback. And now you have to sort of make that discussion a little bit more nuanced and figure out what it looks like on the road to 7-10, right? Is it 7-10 that looks like what we saw the last 2 years, where the offense struggled and no matter what quarterback you put out there, they couldn't find a rhythm and they didn't have an identity and everything was sort of haphazard? Because this can't just be about Justin's performance over the next, 16 weeks. It has to be about how Justin's performance marries up with how Matt is using him, right? Because I think you'd all agree, Mark Potash says this all the time in the media room, that there's a greater chance that Justin Fields makes Matt Nagy look like a great coach than there is of Matt Nagy turning Justin Fields into a great quarterback, right? And so that's where this discussion gets a little bit tricky, and you have to figure out what it looks like, and does the final record show you something that the offense is moving in a direction that looks like what other really good offenses around the NFL look like?
Dan, we saw an opportunistic Bears defense against Cincinnati on Sunday. It's kind of reminds you and had some shades of the Fangio defense as far as how aggressive they were. Now here are the Browns on Sunday. It looks like Odell Beckham Jr. will return. What are your expectations for the Bears defense against what the Browns will bring to the table on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, no question that was the most encouraging part of last weekend, right? I for me, it started with Robert Quinn's sack, because it was sort of this illumination of how you can make things really go well for yourself by scheming, right? And Sean Desai put Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack next to each other, and you had two offensive linemen trying to figure out what to do, and they ran a little stunt there, and Quinn got inside, and then Khalil got around the edge, and you got a sack, and all of a sudden you felt the energy that was missing in week one. And then the takeaway binge came, and Roquan Smith looked like one of the best defensive players in the NFL, and Akeem Hicks was super active, and all of a sudden you got the interceptions coming one after another, and all of a sudden that looked like an elite defense again. It's going to be harder in Cleveland. You got to figure out where the health of this team is. How much does Eddie Goldman give you? How much is Akeem Hicks able to give you? What's the status of Tayshaun Gibson? They've got a challenge here, as you mentioned, against a Browns offense that can run it pretty well and then also turn Baker Mayfield loose a little bit. And so you just want to see some carryover from last week. I'm not expecting them to get four takeaways and a touchdown this week, but you want to feel like they're disrupting the quarterback and able to get you multiple takeaways each week, and you'll feel better about it.
The offense is obviously a work in progress. We know that. Defensively, though, we saw Sean Desai put both Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack on the same side of the field. And if you run that back, I watched on Game Pass, you go back and watch it, they were smart, the Bengals. They got a running back and a guard and a tackle, and they are going to chip with the running back and figure three guys will occupy those two. Oops, there goes Robert Quinn on a stunt. He gets a free run at Burrow. Sack. Beautiful. What is the next adjustment you think they can make? Because I can guarantee you the Cleveland Browns will be ready for that twist.
Well, you know, look, it's, I mean, it's week to week, and that's where, you know, the praise of Sean from the outside world, and particularly from one Vic Fangio, is in his preparation ability and his sort of obsession with trying to find the wrinkles in each opponent and marrying those up with the strengths of your defense to say, okay, this is how we are going to put together this puzzle for this week in a way that allows us to make those plays. It didn't happen in week one. We all came out of that trip to LA and said, boy, that defense needs work. And then they showed you a lot in week two that said, okay, all right, Sean, you know, put that first game behind him, and he was able to put his best players in position to make game-changing plays. They're going to have to do that Sunday. It starts with taking away the run, right? And you've got to figure out a way to make Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt non-factors, right, or lesser factors in the game. And then you can heat up Baker Mayfield with some different looks. I mean, look, Roquan Smith's sack last week's another example where Roquan came from an angle that you're not used to seeing inside linebackers blitz from, and nobody picked him up. And here he came screaming off the edge, untouched, buried Joe Burrow. And again, the stadium came alive, right? And you felt the energy and the momentum that came with that. And so it's just finding those spots where you can do something a little non-traditional to make the other offense uncomfortable. And they were great at that in week two. They've got to do it again on Sunday.
Dan, you're a reasonable man. And Danny Zetterman, well, sometimes he's not. And I need you to make me understand this. How is it that there is a game in which you and Danny are working together and you're the pitching coach and he is the coach/manager, and there's a pitcher out there for 2 innings and 80 pitches? Did one of the kids really pitch 70 to 80 pitches in a game in which you presided over?
Has this been discussed on the air already? I got to go back through the audio to figure out where I get my defense from?
No, this is fresh. This is brand new.
Is fresh.
It's information that just came across to our news desk here. Could you explain why that the guy that you two let a kid be out there for 80 pitches in 2 innings?
I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but I'm not in charge of counting the pitches. I'm just in charge of speaking to the pitchers and motivating them in a way that gets them to do their best. We lost track of the pitch count. It cannot happen. That absolutely cannot happen in the 8U League. We've got to be better. That's on us as coaches. I'll take the responsibility on that one, even though I threw someone under the bus just a minute ago. And we'll figure out where to go tomorrow with a big game. You know, it's the Glenview Sock Puppets against the Glenview Ballers on Saturday. That's the battle of Glenview right there. If you lose that one, you go home with your tail between your legs. And we've got to be better as a coaching staff to put those kids in position.
By the way, Dr. Andrews called Danny. He needs you to pick him up at O'Hare. He's coming in to see that kid's
guys,
elbow.
Guys, I do not count the pitches either. The pitching is left completely in Dan Wiederer and that man who will remain nameless's hands.
Tony Pavic. Excuse me.
The great Ante Pavic goes down.
Pavic, excuse me. Pardon me.
But I'll tell that's you, we have extensive discussions after these games via text on how we can be better as coaches, and that's going to continue, guys. I promise.
I mean, you've got a Jimmy Cordero on your roster, for God's sake. You blew him out faster you can say Rick Renneria.
Correct.
That ain't right.
Steve Cishek.
My God.
Joe Mann. Hey, I got one more football question for you. So I was on with Waddle and Sylvie this week as we were promoting the Walk as One Chicago that we did yesterday. And I think there's a question. I asked this to Sylvie and to Tommy, and I would love your take on it. Okay, I'm all in if you tell me at the end of the year, Justin Fields is that dude. We developed him. Yeah, we didn't have the best record, but that guy's the future. Do you, though, have a sense of loyalty as a head coach to the other 50 guys? Not Foles, not Dalton, not Fields. Leave the quarterback room alone. The other 50 dudes. Is there any sense of loyalty to them that you're asking them to put their health on the line every day, take a needle if you have to get yourself on the field, but we're going to develop the kid as opposed to trying to win as many damn games as you can for the veterans?
My opinion is there's always a sense of loyalty to those guys, but this is why you have checks and balances in an organization and why you have a power structure that needs to set a clear vision on what the bullseye for each season is and what you're trying to accomplish within that season. This isn't Matt's decision to make as Matt alone. Right, there has to be discussion on what's the best for the long-term prospects of the franchise, and so that's something that gets complicated, as we've talked about multiple times here in recent weeks. And I think the worst-case scenario here, Cap, is if you get to the end of this year and you don't know if Justin is absolutely the future or not. If his play for, you know, 14, 15, 16 games, whatever it may be, is uneven, and you're left scratching your head and saying, well, man, does he have flaws in here that we didn't previously take into account? Is it because the coaching staff isn't bringing the best out of him? That's where this thing could get really tricky. I think everyone sort of goes into this saying that, what happens if we get to the end of the year and Justin is absolutely the guy? Well, what happens if we don't know, right? And what happens if we're in the middle of January and we're going, man, I don't know if Justin Fields is absolutely the answer, and I don't know what the reasons are that we don't know that yet. And that's where it gets complicated. And so to your point, yeah, Matt has to try to win football games. And he's got to figure out what that looks like with Justin here in the short term, whether it's better off with Andy when Andy's healthy again. But there's a lot more that goes into this, and that's why you need to have conversations with your general manager and your ownership to understand what the vision of the organization is and where the bullseye is for this season. If you don't have that, you're lost, you're wayward, you're where the Bears always are, mediocre, spinning your tires in the mud, and never going anywhere.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your weekend. Watch that pitch count.
Yeah, well, I tell the kids all the time, Nolan Ryan used to throw 130 in a game, so suck it up.
You know that.
Boy, Wiederer.
You do know Nolan. Go back and look. Nolan Ryan against Louis Tiant. Tiant, 190 pitches in the loss. Nolan Ryan, 240.
Yeah, so let's go. Let's go.
Tough it up. Hey, have a great weekend.
See you, fellas.
Pavick.
That's it. Tony Pavick, you're better than that. The Friday folder is next.
Don Cooper's out of business.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J-Hood show.
Waddle's favorite song.
Really?
Yep. The Rockford Files.
It was a great. And what was his voicemail message? It was simple. Like, people have these elaborate, long messages. No one wants to hear it.
Hi, this is Jim Rockford. Leave a message.
That's Beep. It. Yep. Hi, this is Jim Rockford. Leave a message.
Beep. Bam. You owe me $500, Rockford. I'm going to come find you. If you find me first.
That's it.
It's always a joke in there.
The best.
Yeah.
Friday Folder brought to you by the wonderful people. The Apt family, Apt Electronics, ABT in Glenview. Danny boy.
All right, Danny, here we go.
Boy, oh boy, gentlemen, we have a lot to discuss today on this edition. Let's begin with something Bears related.
Rapid fire. Let's go.
Odell Beckham Jr. thinks he's probably going to go Sunday against the Bears.
You know, it'll be his first time in a while being out there. There's no Jarvis Landry. I'm not sure how much he can hurt the Bears' defense. But, of course, every game I'm concerned about the secondary.
Yeah, I don't know how many plays he'll be out there for. I think he'll get, you know, a good chunk, but not a normal workload. Hadn't been out there since he blew his ACL last year. But he's always a threat deep, so they better be ready to know where he is at all times.
Danny.
Gentlemen, some sad news. Jerry Cook, longtime Chicago sports journalist, passed away at 82.
I grew up listening to Jerry Cook on WMAQ. When you think about journalists, you think about Jerry Cook because sometimes he'd fill in for Chet as a talk show host, but he was a reporter. He really was able to mold and shape Dan McNeil for a while. He was
he's to blame. Yeah.
Dan was learning on the fly the business, and Jerry Cook was there to try to mold and shape him. So I always remember the pipe. I always remember Jerry Cook as a great reporter.
Yep, and I'm friends with Chris Cook, the longtime fixture on the hockey beat here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chris is an awesome dude, and our deepest sympathies to him and to his family. Jerry was a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Yeah,
and you're right. He would fill in for Chet, mm-hmm. or he would be Chet's man on the street or man at the event,
yeah,
along with Cheryl Ray. And, yeah, that was the start of sports radio making its heyday here in Chicago. Jerry Cook, you will be missed, man. You were a stud.
Thank you for being a great journalist.
Yes. Awesome.
Danny?
Gentlemen, LeBron James' COVID-19 vaccine mystery has been solved. Lakers GM Rob Pelinka says the whole entire Lakers roster will be fully vaxxed by the start of the season.
Well, everybody's over 45. I mean, you might want to. I mean, you're old.
Yeah, they're eligible for the booster already.
I mean, all those guys are old. It's like the movie Wild Hogs. All these guys having one more run, right? This is why you don't allow the players to assemble your roster, Cap. And I'm not saying the Bulls wouldn't have won championships with, you know, some of the Jordan's friends, but Jerry Krause put a line in the sand, like, you play, I'll put the team together. We're not going to have your card playing friends in the back of the plane. So, and with the Lakers, it's all of what LeBron wants more so than what Rob Pelinka wants.
Correct. If you're not vaxxed and you're on that team and LeBron wants you vaxxed, you're going to be vaxxed or you're not going to be there. Period.
But he kept it, by the way, he kept it very close to the vest. LeBron would not say if he was vaccinated or not.
Yeah, and it's funny, I had this debate with someone formerly in the Cubs clubhouse, and I said, LeBron didn't answer the question. Why does other people answer the question whether they are or they're not? Well, if he says he's not, it's obvious he is. He isn't, I mean. And I said, no, it's not obvious. And of course, it wasn't obvious. LeBron kept it close. It's private. I'm not discussing it, but he is vaxxed. So good to see. And by the way, the Blackhawks yesterday announced they're 100% vaxxed.
What else did Javi Baez tell you?
Danny.
New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick never evolved as Tom Brady aged, according to Tom Brady's longtime personal trainer, Alex Guerrero.
What does that mean, Cap? I mean, you still were winning. So what else did Belichick need to do to help Tom evolve? Or how could Belichick evolve more?
Well, remember they kicked Alex Guerrero out of the facility?
Yeah.
So that's when Tom opened TB12.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he treated him like the 20-year-old portly kid they drafted who had to get in shape. The kid that Alex Guerrero said, the guy at the combine isn't the guy today. And Bill treated him that way as opposed to evolving as Tom evolved to become this amazingly fit specimen.
Tom was not portly. I'm going to have a hat made that says portly, so you could just refer to people that are just a little bit overweight or a lot overweight as portly. He was not portly.
Well, he was out of shape.
Okay, well, stop calling people portly. I'm going to come over there and beat the hell out of you.
It bothers Hoodie so much.
It's just ridiculous, though. So if you're portly, you're over here. But me, I'm over here. That's what you're doing. You're separating people.
Oh, no, I'm portly. I'm not saying that.
You're not portly.
Portly, here's the definition of portly.
I have been in my life.
Oxford Dictionary. Having a stout body, somewhat fat.
Me. Take that.
My point is, the picture of Tom from the combine with the little paunch.
He was doughy.
He was doughy. Is that a fair word?
He had a dad bod. Well, you now refer to as a dad bod.
Okay, he had a dad bod.
It's unbelievable.
That's not that guy anymore. That guy, he may not look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his heyday, but that guy's in great shape. And he evolved as nutrition and guidance evolved, like Danny learned. And he says that Bill never understood that.
Just don't know why you're alienating some of the audience there by just separating people, calling them portly, calling them names. They call it fat shaming in 2021.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
Danny.
Gentlemen, no evidence found that San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane bet on NHL games. The league now considers this specific matter closed.
Okay, so they didn't do their due diligence. how much did they really dig? Did they go to DraftKings or PointsBet Cap? Did they look over his bets? How do you find that information? FBI have that? Did the FBI have your information on your bets and mine? Do you think they know?
No, but I think if we were being investigated for illegal wagering, like you're Evander Kane, you're playing and you're betting on your own team or against your own team, they will get your cell phone records. They will get your email. They'll get all your correspondence.
They will?
Yes.
They got all my WNBA bets, too.
They'll get everything they want if they truly want to get it. I think it's just a nasty, ugly divorce, and she fired on him to try and ruin him.
Ah, so she did that on purpose.
I think.
By saying, oh, you know he bet on hockey and his own team.
Correct.
And then they found nothing, because if they were looking for it,
they'd have found it.
Even if it's the NHL, as inept as they can be from time to time, right?
They've got ex-FBIers on their staff. Mm-hmm. They'd find it.
Danny.
Gentlemen, my favorite story ever. Manchester United's whole entire team is now scared to eat dessert in front of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Because
he is uber healthy.
Fit.
Yes.
He is crazy with his diet. So supposedly on Friday nights they have apple crumble every Friday, brownies, and ice cream every Friday.
Sounds
and
delicious.
Last Friday, they put that out. Not a single player took it. The reason why, they didn't want to be embarrassed in front of Ronaldo.
Bro, look. I'll do me. I'll eat what I want to eat if I'm one of those players. Obviously, you want to don't do it in abundance because you still want to be healthy enough to play, right? Mm-hmm. But the idea that I just can't have like a little cheat meal if I'm one of those players, screw that guy. I'll eat right in front of his locker room. Hey, what's up, man? What's up, man? What? You're not going to eat this because you're so healthy? Guess what? This is delicious.
Hey, can Take I that. Have Ronaldo's?
Because guess what? I am human. I'm going to have a cheat meal every now and then. What are you going to do about it? Going to get me cut? What's up, man? Take that. I mean, what's he going to do, Cap? What's he going to do?
Exactly.
I'd eat right in front of his locker. Come at me. Let's go. You got something to say? That's what I thought.
It's funny. I was playing.
I'll take a second.
Exactly. I was playing golf with the great Glenn Kozlowski, former Bear. And Glenn didn't have the healthiest eating habits. He would have two big, huge things of diet, not diet, regular Mountain Dew, donuts. And I said to him, none of my business, but I did, Cos, I'm a little worried about you, man. Gained a little. I'm worried about you. Your knees are bad from playing. Do you really need to eat that? And he went over to, didn't say a word. He just glared at me. He walked over to the snack bar at the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have two bear claws, please? Yeah, I'll take those two. Big.
Yeah.
Like, you would slice it up and, like, four guys would eat it.
Right.
And he took the entire thing and shoved it in his mouth. He goes, mind your own business.
Ah! Kozlowski!
Okay!
Yeah!
I got it!
He's doing his own thing.
Yes.
That's right. Worry about me, and I'll just keep eating the bear claw.
That's it.
I like it.
That's what he did.
You do what you gotta do, man. You make yourself happy. You don't conform to society. You feel how you want to feel. Live your life. Just don't die.
Exactly right.
Oh, hang on.
Take that. Danny.
Gentlemen, Samuel Adams is releasing a beer that costs $240 and is 28% ABV and will be illegal in 15 states.
Is it going to be illegal in this state? That's a question. Because we should get it.
Let me look at the states. So
hold on a second.
As bad as the show.
What does ABV stand for? Alcohol by volume?
Yes.
Okay. What is normal in a... Not a light beer, just a regular, like a Heineken.
Like 4%. Like what? Some IPAs are 8%. I went to the Dead with Abdallah, and we went through a street festival, and he got a beer, and I think he commented, oh, this is good, it's 8%. Mm. Like, I think Bud Light, Miller Light, those are like 3.5, 3.4%.
So this is 28%.
28%, my man.
What is it, grain alcohol?
Hopefully.
Everclear.
The beer cannot lawfully be sold in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Carolina, Utah, Vermont, or West Virginia.
Illinois. Well,
every state that's unvaxxed.
The moonshine states.
The moonshine states.
We don't need your beer. We've got stills for the alcohol.
That's it.
We don't need your fancy Dan type of beer.
Yeah.
Son.
And what's that thing on your face? It's called a mask.
It's a mask.
Yeah. Take it off.
What's that for? You're a doctor? No, sir. It's just, because of the fact, what's going on.
With the COVID.
The COVID.
The what?
What'd you call it? COVID. What did you call it? I don't understand what you're saying, son. Roll Tide.
Roll damn Tide.
I don't know.
You don't see Saban with none of that mask on.
Well, you don't see him with a mask on.
Danny.
Do
gentlemen,
me.
That is all the time. If we'd like. We got to get best trends with the DeFalco.
Okay, we got Carm. Best trends. That is next.
Thank you. Here's David Kaplan.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, buddy. This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football returns to Wrigley Field this fall for the first time since 2010. Join Northwestern Football when they host Purdue in the Wildcat Classic November 20th. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
All All right, time for best trends with our guy, the great Carmen DeFalco, who last week started this segment by saying, play Michigan State getting the points against Miami.
Hoodie and I both like that.
Yeah, and yep. Hoodie said right away, that's the play.
Outright winner.
No question.
With a dominant fourth quarter.
Yeah, Diaz doesn't have the horses in Miami, that's all.
That seat's hot, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That seat's getting real hot.
How about that?
Yeah, it's getting real hot.
So we'll go back and forth on plays. Of course, you know, Carm, I've got college for you. So let's start at Soldier Field with Notre Dame against Wisconsin. What do you like there?
If anything, I like a small lean to the under here. You know, these 11 o'clock games are sometimes tough to pick, but it's going to be a raucous crowd and an environment. Game day is here.
Notre Dame crowd or what's the crowd?
My guess is it'll be slightly in favor of Notre Dame, but I bet it's close. There's a big Wisconsin fan base here, let's face it. Look, Jim Leonard and that defense has had an extra week to prepare for this game. I think that's big. He obviously knows Jack Cohn as well as anybody, and I know there's a lot on the line here for Jack Cohn. I'm sure he wants to play well. Maybe he presses a little. I don't know. If anything, I kind of lean towards the under in this game. Wisconsin is about a 6.5-point favorite. They don't have any explosive plays in their arsenal. At least they haven't yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see it finally. I don't know. I wouldn't want to have to cover that number, even with a great defense, with an offense that just a quarterback that seemingly makes mistakes and an offense that doesn't have the running game it once had and doesn't really have any explosive plays. If anything, I would lean towards the under. I think Wisconsin's
and the number
D is
what
legit.
Now on the under?
40. It was 46 to open. It's about 45.5, 45 now.
Okay. So. Bears-Browns, do you have a lean there, an opinion? I would actually take the points, but I'd buy the half to get to 7.5.
If you got, it was 7.5 for a little while, came back down to 7. I don't have too strong a feeling one way or another on Bears this week. I felt much better about the Bears laying the points last week. We kind of sweated that more than I thought we would when it was 20 to 3.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
Only the Bears make that one close. But no, not too much of a thought one way or another. Maybe a slight lean towards the over, believe it or not. But that's about it for that game for me.
Michigan State, the aforementioned Michigan State.
Oh, yeah.
I have it here as a 5-point favorite against Nebraska. Yes. You think Nebraska can keep it close?
I think Nebraska can keep it close. I think Nebraska will. And I know that first week was a bad look for Nebraska, going to Illinois and losing. It's a bad loss. It is. Adrian Martinez is like the Evan Eschmeyer of Nebraska.
It's a different Martinez. They've had a Martinez in there for a decade.
I didn't realize.
It's a different Martinez.
Tommy Frazier's still on that team.
Yeah, Tommy Frazier. He's actually played very well since the opener. And look, they hung with Oklahoma last week.
Yeah.
Sparty's 3-0 with a pair of outright wins as a dog. We were just talking about the win at Miami last week. Are they ready now to be a favorite of more than a field goal, though? I'm not so sure. I do think there's some value in Nebraska, and I think they've played better than people probably figured that they would, especially after the ugly loss to Illinois to start the season. Their defense has been pretty good, so I actually like Martinez's ability to scramble and extend plays and to make enough plays to keep that game close in East Lansing.
Favorite game or two on the NFL board?
Oh, boy. Favorite game or two. I like the over in the game that I think everybody's looking forward to, and that's the Tampa Rams game. And it's a big total, boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say, well, the best in the number's gone at this point. It's about 55, 55.5. I still think it's going to be last team to score in that game. I like the Packers as an underdog over the key number of 3, getting 3.5 at San Francisco this week. I know that the 49ers did cover as a small dog last week on the road, but the Eagles won the stats and they dominated the first half. They went into halftime trailing. I had the Eagles last week. I knew that was a loss at halftime. It's inexplicable that the Eagles were losing. Inexplicable, guys, if you watch that game, that the Eagles were losing at halftime. And I knew it. I could sense it that game was going to be a loss because of it. But this is not a good spot for Shanahan. 10-18-1 as a favorite as the head coach of the 49ers. So I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are still plenty motivated, even though they have to travel on a short week.
Can I ask you about another college game?
Yeah.
And by the way, keep your eyes on Memphis. I had them at home against Mississippi State. And I mean, Memphis has been on a roll at home, so they should be able to beat Texas San Antonio. They're a 3-point favorite is Memphis.
Yes, what
about Tennessee, Florida? You have any interest in that SEC action? 18.5 is the number for Florida.
The only thing that scares me a little is any sort of emotional letdown for Florida after a thrilling, great game and an almost last week.
Yeah.
They've dominated this rivalry, and they've dominated at home. You know, not too strong of a feel one way or another, Hoodie, on that one. Like I said, I think power numbers wise on paper, it's about where it should be. They're probably 19 points better than Tennessee, and they just completely dominate that rivalry, at least they have in recent times. So I like all that. I just wonder a little bit about kind of the gut punch, the way everything ended last week.